Well, boy, it seems like it's been forever since we've actually done the blog. I think we did one 2 weeks ago, but I don't think it ever got posted. But this is the ACN North blog here.
We had 2 weeks ago with a technical difficulty, and then last week I'll put it on myself for planning.
We were busy. Yeah. We had teams in the regional tournament, regional soccer tournament. We were all over.
And speaking of busy, how many places have you been today?
Well, I've got to make 2 trips to Hendrickson today for signing. That's about it. And then I've got another one on Friday. Have you been all over the place?
I've made the first stop this morning at 8 a.m. over at Vista Ridge. Vista Ridge loves to do their signings at 8 a.m., but as much as I hate the early time, it guarantees they always get covered since no one else does 8 a.m. signings. Mm-hmm. And they had a very purple-themed signing. It was Abilene Christian, Prairie View A&M, and Mary Hardin Baylor, all purple schools. So,
all right, good
purple
deal.
Was the theme of the day over at Vista Ridge this morning.
Well, we've had a couple signings over here in the Round Rock, Pflugerville area the past few days. Hendrickson has one at 3:30. They have another one at 6:00, so we've got to make 2 trips there, and they've got another one on Friday. Mm-hmm. Last week, we had Michaela Harvey of Hendrickson sign with Texas A&M for girls mm-hmm. soccer. We had Destiny Oakman of Pflugerville sign last week. And then we also had Jay Jones mm-hmm. of Cedar Ridge basketball sign. So it's an exciting time this year. It's also exciting because we've got baseball and softball wrapping their mm-hmm. seasons up, heading into the playoffs, and obviously spring football. Mm-hmm. Before we get into spring football...
And soccer, state semifinals.
And soccer. This is what we call a little tease here in the mm-hmm. in the podcast. We're going to look at Stony Point football and Rouse football here. But first, let's talk about a little baseball. Mm-hmm. My baseball and softball. My softball teams are all... assured. I know who's making the playoffs. We got a district champion last night in Round Rock. Then Cedar Ridge, Stony Point, and Pflugerville will all make the playoffs, and then it's just depending on what happens on Friday with mm-hmm. those teams.
Yeah, for our softball, we're down to the 3 spots that have been locked up, Dripping Springs, Leander, and Cedar Park. And then, actually, really big game last night, Tuesday night, let's record this on Wednesday, Rouse beat Marble Falls last night. Now, Rouse is still a game behind Marble Falls in the standings going into Friday night, but Rouse plays Vandegrift, which is in last place, mm-hmm. and Marble Falls plays Dripping Springs, which is the top second-ranked team in the state. So if Rouse wins and Marble Falls loses, they'll have a one-game playoff on Saturday for that fourth and final playoff spot.
Well, that'll be an intense Friday night. We have for softball for us. You know, we have intense games on Friday. Really, not for who's getting in because mm-hmm. we've already got teams that have clinched. You know, really the magic number when you play the Tuesday Thursday series is usually 6.
Yeah,
because that means you at least have wins 2 wins over somebody or a win over everybody. Mm-hmm. So, right now, we have a bunch of teams with 7 wins, and then, of course, Round Rock, which only has 1 loss, and they mm-hmm. clinched the district title last night. Mm-hmm. There was a chance that if they had lost last night and Cedar Ridge had won out and Round Rock had won out, there was a chance that Cedar Ridge could have won it, but that's not it. But the big thing is seeding, because mm-hmm. nobody wants to finish third or fourth in mm-hmm. this district just for the playoff seeding. You got Westlake softball is really, really good. So nobody really wants to finish in fourth mm-hmm. in this district. But really, I mean, Pflugerville lost last night 9-1 mm-hmm. to Stony Point, but they were coming off... One Pflugerville team lost 9-0, and one Pflugerville team lost 9-1 last night.
Not a good night in Pflugerville?
Yeah. Well, Pflugerville baseball won 9-1 okay. baseball against Stony Point, and then Stony Point softball won 9-0. So I'm either getting one of them mixed mm-hmm. up. But anywho, there were some nines scored.
Yeah. We had...
So, but, But to finish the point, though, I mean, you know, if Stony Point wins out and finishes second, that'll be really big. And then you have Cedar Ridge, which was leading the district up until losing a couple games last week. You know, we've got three teams that are district championship worthy squads, and one team that's really, really good in Pflugerville that has played, I think, above their heads a lot this year. I don't think a lot of people maybe thought that they were going to be as good as they have been.
And they were, Pflugerville was a team that people expected to be a playoff team, correct? But just...
Well, no, I think that they were, nobody really, everybody knew Round Rock and Stony Point would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people knew how good Cedar Ridge was going to be. I think a lot of people thought Westwood, which is 5-5 right now, and you know, they can finish 6-5 but can't make the playoffs if they win on Friday. I think a lot of people thought that they would push for the playoffs, and then nobody really knew what to expect from McNeil, which, you know, I think they were in the playoffs last year. I think they were second.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Henderson had talent. I mean, you got kids that are going on to play at the next level on the softball, but they just couldn't put it together this year. Same with McNeil, obviously, finished last, but... I think Pflugerville, the fact that Pflugerville enters the last game of the season with a shot at finishing second in this district,
mm-hmm.
and with two wins over Cedar Ridge team, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a testament to them. I think they've played. Above their heads sounds so negative, but I think that just shows that Coach Sesson there has done a really good job.
If you were to, right now, for your softball district, this for basketball, with one game left to play, who is your player of the year for your softball district?
For softball? I'll tell you what, there's so many good players, but, you know, I'd say that Kirk of Stony Point has really played really well all year. She's a dynamite pitcher. She's probably one of the better power hitters in the district, Emily Kirk. And, you know, she's heading to the next level. I believe Indiana mm-hmm. is where she's going to be playing her softball. So I would say she's probably our district MVP. And that's saying quite a bit, because Round Rock is pretty good at 10-1. And Round Rock has two great pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they switch them out a lot, you know, and offensively, they're good, but they've had their weak moments. And they're more Round Rock, I think, is more of a team. That's why I think if there's one team that you can probably expect to have a deep run, it's Round Rock, because they have so many weapons. But the best player in the district, I would have to probably lean toward Kirk. She's had an amazing year.
Yeah, in District 25 4A softball, I'd say the MVP. And while the best player... maybe someone on Dripping Springs, and that team is fantastic, second-ranked team in the state. But the MVP, I would say, would be Hannah Holt over at Leander. She's a sophomore pitcher who... That team didn't make the playoffs since 2008. They're already locked up second place in the district. So far, they've only lost... they've lost two games in district, both by one run to Dripping Springs. And I think her ER, she had only... she's second in the Centex area, if I remember reading the Statesman's list of different strikeouts, and has like an ERA at like 1.4 right now or something like that. So she would be the MVP, I think, if I had a vote. Granted, it may be someone from Dripping Springs.
I think Dripping Springs, if I remember right, has a pretty darn good pitcher there.
They do as well, but my point being the MVP, I think if you take her off, I think Dripping
Springs... if you take your five schools, it's probably your MVP, right?
Yeah, but I think if you take one player off Dripping Springs, I think they still win the district title.
Yeah.
But I think if you take this one player off Leander, I don't think they're... in second.
Yeah, and I think that definitely stresses the most valuable player. That's where I look at it. I don't know where Stony Point would be without Emily Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's before we get to football, again, we're gonna talk about Stony Point and Rouse here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a little bit baseball
mm-hmm.
real quick. Right now, my baseball teams, I kind of know who the top two are in the district, mm-hmm. although they can still drop back. We've kind of, I don't say as of Wednesday afternoon, we haven't really eliminated probably one team that can rally and make the Westwood has only 4 wins and I believe 12 losses in the district, so I don't think they can make the playoffs. Hendrickson is at 5-11. They lost last night, which was devastating to them. So I think they'll have to win out, which basically they only have 2 games because they're on a bye next week. So they'll have to win both of their games and then hope that McNeil and Pflugerville lose out the rest of the way. Which I don't know that it'll happen. But right now, Pflugerville and McNeil are both 7-7 in district, so that's, you know, just a dogfight for that last spot, because Round Rock, which lost last night to Cedar Ridge, who's now looking like the district, who probably has the best chance of winning the district if they just pick up a few more games. Round Rock can still win the district if they salvage and maybe win one of two, and then win one of two of Stony Point. It's all a math number when you're playing these series. You can't really, they always talk about magic numbers, but you don't really know who's going to win it until really the last series. But right now, Cedar Ridge, Round Rock, and Stony Point look good to make the playoffs, and then McNeil and Pflugerville are right there. The thing is Stony Point, which has now lost several games. They lost, I think, two of, to Westwood last week. They lost last night by 9 or 8 runs. You know, they're struggling right now, and they've got 2 more games with Pflugerville and 2 more games with Round Rock next week. So that's a team that could definitely stand to fall. I don't think that'll happen. I think that they'll pick up at least one or two, and I think they'll stay ahead, and I believe they have the tiebreakers over those teams. And McNeil has a tiebreaker over Pflugerville, so if it came down to a tie, I think that they would play. Now, they would do some type of mini tournament if you had like a 3-way tie there.
They, and District 25, 4A, it's actually already all determined. It's, well, whoever's going to win the district title could be determined this weekend, depending on how Dripping Springs and Marble Falls do. Right now, entering this week, Marble Falls won the series against Dripping Springs last week. And Marble Falls had a 1-game lead in district last night. Dripping Springs won last night. So Marble Falls and Dripping Springs could flip-flop between first and second, depending on how they do in each of their series. But after that, Leander's guaranteed.
Unless somebody vandalizes the baseball field again, right?
Of course, of course.
I hear that happened.
Yeah. Leander will finish third in the district, and Vista Ridge will take fourth. And then Vista Ridge locked up that spot last night with a 5-3 win against Rouse. They are, I want to say right, they are 8-7 right now. They are, sorry, what is their record right now? They are 1 game above .500.
And usually what happens at in that district in the first round is instead of, from what happened last year, is instead of playing the 3-game series, first two advances, they just play 1-game series and get over with, because I don't think the Austin ISD schools would ever admit this, but they just want to get the first round over with.
Yeah, and I don't. That's an official statement you and I will never hear. But it's the between the lines comments we read all the time.
And you know the Wilco teams, and we'll just call them the Wilco teams. We'll take that, and they'll just play on the road. I know most players that I have talked to about it always prefer the series because you know, the bad game thing, but. If I remember right, Vista Ridge didn't really need the series last year in the first round.
Yeah,
the problem with them is you got Dylan Bine, who's a solid pitcher in the area as there is.
He threw last night. He pitched last night and won for them, and he won their game last. He pitched a complete game shutout last week against Cedar Park, in a series that actually had 3 shutouts. It was the Vista Ridge Cedar Park series last week. 3 shutouts. Vista Ridge had shutouts on Tuesday and Friday. Then Saturday, Cedar Park's Chris Paddock for Cedar Park throws a no hitter on Saturday.
who's kind of stepping up for Vista Ridge? Is their number 2?
Alec Lando's pitched a bit for them.
He pitched last year for them a little
he's
bit,
He's done
too.
For them, and Burrington is their other starter, too.
Okay.
Those have been their stars.
They were key factors last year.
Byron really has been the, we'll just say, the workhorse and MVP of that staff. He's been starting Tuesday, and then he's been the closer on Friday, on Saturdays.
Yeah. It's a good coaching staff at Vista Ridge.
Yeah, good people too.
And then you know, Leander, obviously Matt Grissom's got him back in the playoffs.
Got him in the playoffs. He's got them. That team, they've won all but one series. They're just that group of that experience we've talked about it, of coming down from having played the series before, having played against those tough 5A teams last year,
and having as much talent back as they did last year.
Yeah,
they like Taylor Sugar.
Yeah, who was their leadoff guy and has been really. As Matt Grissom quoted, whoever he quoted, that the straw who stirs the drink. I can't remember who said that originally, but that's Taylor Sugar. Actually, I think Matt Grissom said Taylor Sugar is the straw that stirs the sugar into the drink.
Nice. Well, that's good. I think maybe next week we'll have to talk about some playoff series because there's no games next week because of star testing.
There is one game, except it means nothing. Next game.
I have Friday, Saturday games next week. I don't have any Tuesday games.
I have a couple Friday. They're all non-district. Cedar Park plays like Travis in a game that ultimately now is Cedar Park season is over. They're not going to the playoffs. So it was basically a swan song game for Ryan Johnson to pitch, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're going to do something that we're going to be doing quite a bit on the blog from here on out.
This will be a good 5 week series.
And you know it's high school football, so we're going to be doing this quite a bit on this blog from now on. Mm-hmm. It's high school Texas high school football. We've got spring ball starting, and
already started for one school, correct?
Yeah, that's who we're going to talk about. I obviously cover Round Rock and Pflugerville, so I'm going to be talking about those teams. And Sean, you're over at Cedar Park and Leander. So let's start with Stony Point since they've already started.
Yeah.
The Tigers, obviously, they won three games last year, but this was a team that had they scored, I believe, 11 more points last season against Round Rock, they would have made the playoffs over Round Rock.
I think I remember my thing that always sticks in my mind, correct me if I'm wrong about Stony Point, is the game you told me about where they recovered three onside kicks and then still lost in the last minute.
Well, I believe that game was instead of kicking it to go to another overtime, Stony Point
went for two
and didn't get it, which... You know, from talking at the time with the coaches, you know, that was a smart decision. It's a non-conference game. Mm-hmm. Just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Stony Point's big problem last year... Well, first of all, we'll talk about the strengths of them last year. The strengths of them last year is they had an amazing defense. I mean, they lost, like, seven games, but they lost all those games by, like, a combined 15 points.
Yeah.
I mean, they really weren't blown out by anyone. In fact, we'll restate that. They weren't blown out by anyone. They gave Hendrickson, who won that district, probably one of the toughest games I saw anybody give Hendrickson last year. I mean, Craig Cheshire at the beginning of the week told me that Samaje Perrine was not going to run for big yardage on him, and at the end of the day, that was Perrine's lowest rushing yards the whole district. I mean, Stony Point plays great defense, and it's all part of their kind of mindset, this toughness mindset that Stony Point has. I mean, they never go light in practice. They never go shells. They always go full pad. And it's kind of the work ethic that they've put in there. It's Stony Point football has really... Coach Cheshire has reminded me of this quite a bit. A few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, they were the best program outside of Lake Travis in Central Texas. I mean, they'd gone to the state semifinal 3 years in a row in the largest 5A class. So they were the biggest school in Central Texas who had gone the farthest.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the opening of Cedar Ridge, it has evened out the program. Stony Point's still a big 5A school.
What's their numbers like now? Like,
well, their numbers, the number, well, the, I don't have actual enrollment numbers.
No, for like kids in the football program.
Right now, God, I think he was saying 175 total. So, I mean, it's up. It's up by like 30 kids. And, mm-hmm. and that, I don't think, is even counting the freshmen, which he's got a big freshman class. But, you know, the numbers, Cedar Ridge and really Round Rock and kind of the redistricting has kind of shifted it out of Stony Point.
Yeah. But well, that's interesting, just showing the impact of what happened to them from Cedar Ridge coming in. Because Rouse, who we'll talk about in a minute, they've got 256 kids in the program, yeah. And that's a 4A school.
Yeah, it's and those numbers could be yeah. off. Coach Cheshire told me at the start of spring, I don't have them in front of me, but you know they're not what they used to be. Mm-hmm. But this team still has a ton of talent, and as much as Coach Cheshire tries to downplay it, I think this team is going to be a dangerous team in this district, because the offense wasn't very good last year, but they were so young. They had juniors and sophomores all over, and they're all back. They got 9 returning starters on offense.
Didn't they have 2 quarterbacks last year, too?
Well, they always have 2 quarterbacks.
Okay.
That's just the system they run. I think that they stopped doing that for like a year or two, and they went back to it. And, you know, I kind of, to understand how it works, the only really way you can understand it is you got to watch Stony Point play.
Mm-hmm.
One quarterback runs in with the play call. The other quarterback runs off the field. The new quarterback runs in with the play call.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think, as in there's not one quarterback with the arm and there's not one quarterback with the legs, because Aiden Barrera, who will be a senior this year, I mean, he took most of the carries last year for him. Damon Lindley, whose brother I think is at Oklahoma, you know, he you would think has the legs because he's really, really fast and he's really, really athletic. And he did run some and made some big plays, but they actually used him in passing situations. Mm-hmm. So they really mix it up. Nobody can really key. I think it's got to drive defenses crazy. The problem is injuries really get Stony Point.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hadn't had so many injuries, they might have been a playoff team last year. If they hadn't had injuries to Joseph Marrero, who, when healthy, I think is one of the top 5 playmakers in this district. I mean, he had plays in the non-district season that were just amazing. I mean, I think in that Killeen game, he had like a 90-yard kickoff return. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was one of the better kick returners I saw last year. He is really good, and he is one of 2 running backs who Coach Chester says ran a 4.37 and a 4.44 on a 40 time. So they're legit 5A backs, as he says, and they've got talent. I really like Stony Point. He and James Gray back in the backfield this year, and then you've got Jeremy Carr and Justin Gamble, and, you know, 3 of the 5 linemen are back, and they're probably one of the better offensive linemen they've had in a few years. So I like Stony Point. Defensively, they've got a ton of questions, but they still have a strong defensive line. That program is known for making good defenses. So if the offense can be a dangerous, dangerous weapon, that team can be really good.
Yeah, and they have, we'll get into the rest of the district later, but I think they bring back a lot more than a lot of the other teams in your district do, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I don't want to say down, because that's not what it's going to be, but I mean, there's turnover. Pflugerville is losing 40-some seniors. Westwood's losing their entire defense. But really, outside that, McNeil returns a lot of kids. Cedar Ridge returns a lot of kids. Hendrickson, who won the district last year, returns almost everybody. And they'll enter the season as the favorite. I think that'll be established. I mean, most coaches will probably agree with me that you know, Hendrickson's the team to beat in this district. They've got the reigning district MVP, first first team all district guys coming back, quarterback, receivers, linemen. So Stony Point, though, is right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the injuries, they had to play so many young kids. They didn't have a ton of seniors last year. So I think that that is it's the combination of knowing the coaching staff is really good,
mm-hmm.
knowing that the program builds defenses, and knowing that you have a lot on offense. I think Stony Point is a dangerous team next year.
If there was one thing for Stony Point, if you were going to look at them in spring ball, if there was one thing why either maybe Coach Cheshire told you, or you just looking as an outside observer, if there was one question they had to answer in spring ball, what would it be?
Well, I think it has to be the linebacker position. I mean, you don't lose guys like Kyle Plattner and of course the like a 3-time All State guy and Marcos Curry,
mm-hmm.
and not have some holes to fill. They need to get better at linebacker. From what I've seen and what I've, and just through some interviews, the secondary looks like it'll be okay. I mean, they lose Wes Moore, who's an all-district caliber defensive back. I think they'll survive that, and it seems like they have some talent there. But linebacker will definitely be a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can figure that out, and what's going to help that is all the returning defensive linemen that Stony Point has. Because obviously, as you know, a linebacker's best friend is a big, solid defensive lineman. They keep the blockers off of them. So I think that that'll ultimately help, and I think that there'll be it's only a matter of time before we're talking about linebacker being a strength at Stony Point, because
mm-hmm.
the combination of the athletes that they have, even if the numbers are down, the coaching staffs that they have, and the linebackers they've produced in the past, they'll be able to fill those holes, I think.
And when's that spring game, if people want to go watch it? May 3rd?
It's May 3rd. They started the first week of April,
mm-hmm.
and I'm surprised more teams didn't do this, because mm-hmm. you've got all the star testing. They're not going. I was looking at one of the other schools I covered. I was looking at their spring schedule, and they pretty much have to wipe out almost an entire week of spring ball and have to, you know, I guess just they can't do it after school. They got to do it in a class period, and of course their class period is shrinking in time, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised more teams didn't do it, and I guess we'll see. I mean, if this is what the testing is going to be like every year, and Stony Point seems to be a step ahead of people once the season starts,
it might be kind of the protocol to go in the future down the line for schools that are.
And not every school can do it. I mean, Stony Point. I mean, remember, Stony Point runs a 2-system quarterback offense. And they only have one quarterback in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden Barrera is a baseball player.
Okay.
Lindley's taking most of the snaps. Now, that won't affect Barrera's playing time, because he is a year older than Lindley, so
mm-hmm.
he's done it before. They know what they're getting out. And I think Lindley probably needed a little bit more reps anyway,
mm-hmm.
so I think that helps him. So I wouldn't read into that. But, yeah, I'm surprised that not every school can do this because of the baseball and track season.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those Rouse Raiders.
Yeah. 'Cause
this time last year I was telling people, when I was at the Cedar Park paper, I was telling people that Rouse is going to make the playoffs, and I was getting laughed at.
Yeah, and let's put it this way. They more than made the playoffs last year. They went all the way to the Class 4A Division 1 semifinals and a loss to Georgetown, where you and I both talked about it's a 5A team playing 4A.
Yeah.
Those Rouse Raiders, they're actually talked to Coach Mann earlier this week, and he's a guy who didn't want to say it, but he didn't want to say it officially, but it was one of those where they're it's nice to be coming from actually a building blocks to go off of. Win-wise, granted, they're always building blocks to go forward, but it's nice to come off of a season where you had the success in the win-loss column, and you've got the kids excited about things. Where, let's be honest, it's hard to get kids excited about a winless district season and two wins and overall.
They're losing kids, though.
They've got to
fill some holes.
You want to let's play this game. You want to start an offense or defense? I'll let you pick.
Well, we'll start with the most important. I know they got a new quarterback coming in.
It's interesting. Who will be that quarterback? Because, so, Rouse on offense, Justin Peltz has graduated and is going to go play at a Southwestern State next year.
In Georgetown.
Mm-hmm. At Birkelbach. And Justin Peltz is gone. Now the question for Rouse is, who is your quarterback next year? Because Billy Ray McCrary, who was a running back and newcomer of the year, all-district running back last year, and a kid who's been being highly recruited as an athlete, had a visit to A&M last week. He was a quarterback his entire life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved him to running back last year because they had Pelt. So the question is, do you have him play quarterback? They also have Wesley Geisler, who was the backup quarterback technically last year, even though McCrary did play 2 games at quarterback when Pelt was injured last mm-hmm. year. Him, and then they also have a JV kid, too, who is in the mix, all fighting for this quarterback position. So basically your decision comes down to, for Rouse, is do you want to put your best athlete, Billy Ray McCrary,
that's what they'll do,
at quarterback?
I mean,
yeah.
Most teams usually just do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put the best guy, especially if I remember right, Pelt ran the ball
quite a bit. Rouse runs the ball roughly 80% of the time, too.
Yeah.
It's a thing where Pelt attempted maybe, I want to say, 6 to 10 passes a game. He was pretty accurate at completing those. If he was completing 6 passes, he was completing 4 of them. If he was throwing mm-hmm. 10 times, he was completing 7 of them. But either way, they'll have my estimation is McCrary would likely be the quarterback. That would be my prediction right now. I could be mm-hmm. wrong, and they could decide, well, we'll have Geisler be quarterback and have McCrary there. But I just think the way that they talk about the McCrary and they talk about how much they want him to touch the ball, you don't say kids, I won't coach a kid like this ever again, and then not have him touch the ball every snap.
Yeah.
I think he's the type of kid that is going to be, he'll be their quarterback. But then you have, and so then for Rouse, the one great thing for that program, and not even just going deep in the playoffs and building team morale with wins, another thing that was great for that team was they got 5 extra weeks of practice. They had a bunch of injuries during the year, so they had younger guys forced to step into those roles. Like, McCrary has started 2 games as a varsity quarterback. Mm-hmm. They had everyone on their JV team they had up during the playoff run, so practicing mm-hmm. for 5 extra weeks.
You talked to Josh Mann on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
What's his number one concern coming into the spring? Because they don't start till the 29th, right?
They're starting the 30th.
Okay.
Or it's a Tuesday. His number one concern, it's not quarterback, even though at first thought you and I think it's quarterback, but
in
the back of his mind, he's thinking McCrary. His number one concern is replacing some of those big guys on defense, actually.
Yeah.
Because you had, on offense, you lost some big guys. You lost a Logan Kinder. You lost a Wesley Lewis, who didn't play that much, but still big guy on the outside. But they still have a Andre Alger coming back, and they've got a AJ Bedore, who was on JV up until 8 weeks into the season, and then comes up for the Leander game and ran for 250 yards in one of the playoff games. And he's a sophomore, so I mean, on offense, it wouldn't surprise me if McCrary's the quarterback and Bedore is the running back, because he has that guy who can just slide into McCrary's spot and take the handoffs on the zone read. But the big thing for Rouse is replacing the big guys down the middle on defense. You have Tim LaPaglia, who's going to Midwestern State, who mm-hmm. was really the anchor in the middle of that defense. Middle linebacker, really was running around there, able to make some big plays because they had a defensive line that was getting some pressure. And then right behind him, you have Jordan Weiss, who finished with 12 interceptions last year at safety. Mm-hmm. So you have 2 big guys you have to replace at linebacker and safety. And those 2 guys, those were 2 of the positions where those guys didn't get hurt. So it's not like you had guys stepping up and having to fill those roles, because you're a coach. You're not going to take him off the field anyway.
Yeah.
So the big question for Rouse is filling in that linebacker core. And there's a couple guys, said there's a couple JV guys who have a chance to fill that role. He's got a couple guys who played in that spot late in those playoff games, because late in those first three rounds of the playoffs for Rouse, they were winning big in the fourth quarter, and the starters were able to enjoy watching the game as spectators. So some guys that were able to get some playing time that way.
I would say that this is one of the biggest tests to this program, you know, because you made your run.
Mm-hmm.
You had guys that run the program for, you know, what, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Can they reload? I think if the numbers are what you said they were, there's no way they can't reload.
It's how well can they reload.
If the system is there and you've already seen one class develop from freshmen to seniors and they went almost to the state title, then, you know, it's like it's just like Cedar Park and like Travis, you know.
Yeah.
If you have the numbers and you've proven that you can develop players that should go, that they should be okay. I mean, it just depends on the mindset of the kids, I guess, and how those kids really feel about Rouse and whether they can rally around the tradition.
The nice thing for Rouse was both lines were relatively young.
Yeah.
That was the nice thing. So defense, you're not replacing the whole defensive line. You're replacing the linebacker. So if the defensive line can continue to pair that pressure, linebacker is a position where you can find some guys and get some guys to plug in there. I think replacing Vice is more difficult because you can teach someone a scheme, but having 12 interceptions, that's
playmaker.
That's playmaking. That's a kid who knows. That's a kid who, because he's in this spot on the field, isn't making that play because the coach told him to, because he knows what to do. Mm-hmm. It's finding a guy to fill that role like that. And one of the guys, for instance, one guy, there's a kid who just moved in, who's a junior this year, that man was telling about, named Brendan Wells, played at Liberty Hill last year and was their starting safety last year, who he's really impressed him. So the lines are there, especially the offensive line, which whoever is that quarterback will have. It'll be the biggest offensive line in Rouse school history. The sophomore last year will be a junior next year. His name was Will Noble. Was a second team all district selection, and obviously a district that has some really good offensive linemen. So being second team all district in 25-4 is no slouch. He's the anchor of that. They only lost one full time starter on the offensive line. Another guy who played a little bit in spot time. But they've got an offensive line that has grown up a lot and big and young, so their offensive line is really going to be a strength for whoever is going to be the quarterback on that team.
I'll tell you right now the biggest difference and a thing that I don't know if Rouse fans will want to hear, but I mean, last year, one of the reasons why I thought that they had such a successful season is their start. Coming in and doing what they did to Hendrickson and then beating Cedar Ridge. Well, I think that is going to be, if they can go 2-0 to start the season against Hendrickson and Cedar Ridge, they could win the state title, because I don't know who's going to do that. I mean, Cedar Ridge, I feel, could be the sleeper in District 16-5A, Hendrickson's one of the best teams in Central Texas.
What better test for a first-time starting linebacker, middle linebacker, than to have Samaj Perine run at you?
Yeah. And you know, they didn't exactly stop Samaje
no,
last year.
No, I think he ran for 280 against them. I mean, that was a game that was, I want to say 50-28, if I remember correctly.
I thought it was a 30-point game or something like that. Yeah. All I know is the turnovers hurt Hendrickson in that game, and Rouse jumped on him early.
And you talked about turnovers, that's what we just talked about with Vice too. A guy who had three interceptions in that game
against
Hendrickson.
And that is exactly why they beat Cedar Ridge the next week at Kelly Reeves, is Cedar Ridge committed turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those two teams, Hendrickson and Cedar Ridge, those two teams could finish first, second in District 16-5A. So I don't think the schedule helps Rouse out at all next year.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough start, and it's Cedar Ridge. Have we thought of a good name for that game yet? The Raider Bowl?
Well, it's not the Raider Bowl. Yeah. You mean Cedar Ridge?
The Rouse Cedar Ridge.
Yeah, I guess it could be the Raider Bowl. It could be the We're Really Big Schools Bowl.
Well, yeah, they need to think of a good name because in 2 years they'll be in the same district.
Yeah. Much to the delight of either McNeil or even Pflugerville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we want to get on a redistricting thing, I mean, it could be Hendrickson. I mean, Hendrickson and Pflugerville are the two smallest schools in the district.
Yeah.
I do not see Hendrickson shrinking, though.
Yeah. But yeah, Rouse, that's a tough start to the year. Cedar Ridge, Hendrickson. And then you also have, I don't know how good they're going to be next year because I don't know what they graduated. I don't know if the Kimbrough kid graduated. But down at Hayes, mm-hmm. they have Hayes in the third week of the season, too.
Kimbrough graduated.
Kimbrough did graduate? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't
know. And Hayes has a new coach.
Yeah. So I don't know what Hayes will
former
be.
Former
like.
Tybee coach at Hayes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule for Rouse.
It's a very tough start, and then it doesn't help that you go into the district that you go into.
To get back to the Stony Point start of the season, you know, they'll be making their trips up north to the Killeen area with Killeen, Harker Heights, and Belton.
Do they go there this year? I know they went there a lot this year.
They went twice last year, so they should be, hypothetically, should be coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the official schedule of Stony Point yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously, well, this will be another segment of the blog. Yeah. The most important game for Stony Point this year, probably the one that's circled on all the calendars, has got to be the Cedar Ridge game. That's going to be on October 11th.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be at Kelly Reeves, and technically Cedar Ridge will be the home team, but who really knows?
Yeah.
And then, of course, so I think that'll obviously be Stony Point's biggest game circled there. It should be, it's either going to be their second or third district game of the year. And that, I think that kind of hurt them last year playing that game right in the middle of the district because you lose, you got to turn around, you got to win the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I
think for Rouse, I think there's two. I'm going to group it into two. There's the biggest game of the year that is circled is the Leander game.
Yeah.
Because that'll be the question now, and people in Rouse fans' minds, have we passed Leander? Obviously, they went a round deeper. They beat the team that Leander lost to in the playoffs last year, but Leander, of course, won the head-to-head. They've never beaten Leander head-to-head. So the question in everyone's mind is that circled, can we beat Leander head-to-head?
And they're both teams that are facing kind of the similar issues. I mean, you got to replace quarterback.
Yeah.
Leander seems like they're a little bit farther ahead on that one.
Well, Leander's got a new quarterback, but they're putting in a new system, too.
Yeah,
teaser to next week.
Teaser to next week. Coaching said. Here's another teaser next week. Think Dragon football next week. I'll tell you what. This is our prologue teaser for next week. I've talked to a lot of people out in this area, and I've talked to some people that have covered high school football in Central Texas for a long time, and they say they're excited about Round Rock football next year. So we'll have to see. Right now, I won't give any district predictions here because really, of the seven teams, four of them haven't started spring ball yet, so you don't really know. But if I was just going to go on last year, Hendrickson, Round Rock, I think Cedar Ridge has a really good chance at going to play. I thought Cedar Ridge was a playoff team before the injury last year. And then what makes this next year so exciting is Westwood lost everybody, but they still have one of the better quarterbacks back in Bear Fenimore, plus he got one of the better coaches in the area in Anthony Wood. I mean, do you really think they're going to drop off? No. Pflugerville's Pflugerville. Pflugerville has to replace like 50 kids, but do you really think Pflugerville's going to drop off? I mean, George Herman's been doing this thing for, I think this will be his 17th year. So, and then we've already talked about Stony Point.
Yeah.
And those three teams going in And I shouldn't forget about McNeil, because everybody will forget about McNeil. But I guarantee you, I go to a McNeil spring ball practice, and I'm super impressed, because they return, like, every kid from last year.
Over on the side of 25-4, I think you really hit the nail on the head for Rouse. They had their run. And now the question of really the staying power for this program is, can they rebuild? Because Cedar Park just has to replace two offensive linemen, and they do that like that. Cedar Park has to do that. They have an opportunity maybe with Leander. Maybe Leander has a down year in the fact where maybe the new coach comes in and does great, but maybe Leander has a down year in new coach, new system, losing their defensive coordinator to Marble Falls. You have Vista Ridge, which will reload again, and you have Vandegrift, a team that finished 5-5 and missed the playoffs by 1 point last year.
And then, of course, you never know what's going to happen with Todd Dodge and a healthy Dripping Springs team.
Yeah, healthy Dripping Springs team, which brings back more kids than any other team in the district. And Marble Falls, where they bring back their probably the best individual receiver I saw all of last year. I don't know who's going to throw the ball to him yet, but... And then they have Tony Salazar, who's the Leander defense coordinator for the past 4 years.
And I guess we'll see if it was the scheme or the players. I'm more inclined to say it was the players.
I'm more inclined to say that too. But Marble, I mean, I think honestly, you or I could go over to Marble Falls and we could run their defense better with how many points they were allowing last year. I mean, everyone remembers about Marble Falls who doesn't... Marble Falls made their headline with the 724-yard game.
Mm-hmm.
But Bernie Champion's quarterback threw for 650 in that game.
Yeah. I just think that next year there's going to be some exciting times. Obviously, I mean, if you thought the pressure was on Cedar Park last year to win the state title, it's got to be even more to repeat because of all the guys they have back. Our districts have pressures in different ways.
Yeah.
You have a team that's supposed to probably win the state, and you'll have a Leander team that people will be expecting to finish second, team.
I think the Leander people, though, are expecting this person, though, to beat Cedar Park. I think the expectation is to win district, which is very difficult, but I think... People are coming in and putting a lot on this guy.
With the talent, though, and the history, I think that that's deserved.
Yeah, it's deserved. And also, the first thing, whoever the new defensive coordinator will be, we'll have to teach them how to defend Hail Marys.
that's a shot. I think that there's just two different districts, obviously, not just the classifications. Where my team, I mean, you got one front runner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if a lot of people are picking Hendrickson to win the state title entering this year. Because it's such a grind to win it in the 5A level. And even at the Division II 5A level, which Hendrickson most certainly would be in. There's so much excitement, I would say, because of what could be and the new. Sometimes it's a negative connotation in football, in high school football, when you don't have as many guys coming back and you got all these young guys. But, you know, sometimes it just shows the strength of your program that you can reload and not skip a beat. That's why I was so amazed when I was in Kerrville and they lose Johnny Manziel, who is the best high school football player I've ever set eyes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around the very next year, they go farther than Johnny Manziel's senior year. I mean, they are like two games away from the state title.
And we have, it's fun for us too, because for the first 4 weeks of the season, our districts kind of cross over quite a bit.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting to see the...
like Westwood picking Cedar Park for the homecoming game.
Ooh.
On September
20th. That's the homecoming game.
It is, according to the 2013 schedule, it's the homecoming.
That'll be interesting, and we'll talk more about Cedar Park 2 weeks down the line. But that'll be interesting because Cedar Park's non-district last year was before they knew who their quarterback was going to be for the full year.
Well, I mean, Westwood still does them no favors in scheduling. Coach Woods got Austin High, who I think was a I don't think made the playoffs last year if I remember right.
No, they didn't.
Bowie, who Westwood will play for like the 1,300 time in the past 4 years, Lake Travis, and then Cedar Park again. I mean, it's like, I like that schedule, frankly, because right now Westwood's going to play three possible teams they'll face in the playoffs if they make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, at Bowie, Austin High, or Lake Travis, that could be a first-round matchup.
This is a conversation that can go way too long, so I won't take it there, but I always find it interesting where the team that won the state title last year out of District 25-4A played four 5A teams to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
A team that started off that went undefeated in district play, but played all 4A schools, just barely made the playoffs. And that's obviously a conversation that we can take a long time future. But
yeah,
the scheduling wins versus scheduling tests.
Well, I mean, just goes to show. I mean, I thought Westwood. And Stony Point, I thought Stony Point's non-conference was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Westwood was by far the toughest, and they ended up going farther than anybody.
Yeah, and we talked, just staying on topic with Rouse, just I think that's something that they did a good job of, especially this year. We talked about their meat grinder of the first two games, and then Buda Hayes, which is a playoff team from last year.
And you're facing the biggest school in Central Texas, the best player in Central Texas, and then a tradition-filled program in Central Texas.
Which is great for that school to be able to do all that. And then there's other schools that are, like the District 20, like I know Dripping Springs and Marble Falls, both played two 3As before in non-district play last year, which I assume would continue this year.
Hey, before we wrap this up, does Cedar Park bring home another state title in soccer, girls soccer?
I will say this. The winner of the semifinal game between Highland Park and Cedar Park will win the state title.
Bold prediction.
I think that Highland Park and the Battle of the Parks, I think that team will be better than whoever comes out of the Magnolia-Denton-Guyer game.
Denton-Guyer, that's a pretty good program, though, right?
Yeah, Denton-Guyer,
in the Dallas area.
Still a good program, but I still think whoever comes out of that Cedar Park-Highland Park game is going to win the state title. And we'll just...
Highland Park defending state champions?
Highland Park has not lost in 48 games.
Okay.
Dating back to mid-season last year, they lost to Dallas Hockaday 3-1, middle of the year. Since then, they've gone 42-0-6.
Wow.
Including a 1-0 win against Cedar Park in the fourth game of the season. So, a bit of a revenge game. And one last storyline to leave you with. In 2002, Highland Park won the state title, beating Cedar Park in the state championship game.
And through my volleyball sources, whoever takes a Cedar Park volleyball job will probably be in the state tournament again, because apparently they have a lot of returning
people. They have a couple
they'll be absolutely loaded. Yes, volleyball. Yes. The exact words from the person I talked to was, whoever takes that job is getting a job with that it'll be absolutely loaded next year.
Yes, and congratulations to Coach Almanza on 10 wonderful years coaching Cedar Park and making a family decision to step down.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to take that job.
Yeah.
I imagine they'll go someone within the area, somebody close to the program. So
yeah, it would be. I mean, knowing LISD, it could be an assistant coach. They tend to do that.
Yeah.
It tends to happen quite often in that district.
The problem is I think, I would say volleyball is because of the club programs, in the area. I think volleyball is definitely a job that you want to go out and spend money on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you got so many committed parents to volleyball.
Yep. Well,
you just can't plug.
So next week we'll be looking at Leander and
the Mighty Dragons,
the Dragons
of Round Rock.
Lions and Dragons.
We'll be breathing some fire next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in, and have a good week.